All right. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. For today, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. You know, Sandy, all of this is really perplexing, man, when you... Because I remember the recessions when I was working, and I knew the impact that they had on as you're young and you're starting to build things and you're starting to acquire things, and then the bottom falls out, and especially, you know, all those years in the auto industry, we would know it was coming, and then the pain of it, and then after it was over, it'd be the horn of plenty for a while because they would ramp up again.
Yeah.
And actually what they were doing was shutting down, slowing things down. And then there came a point in time when the jobs were no longer there. Well, but
it was that inventory cycle.
Yes.
The people who were the customers when a recession got started, they'd operate out of inventory and order nothing, and you guys had to get laid off.
Right.
And then when they started ordering again, they had to build up inventory. So they were ordering twice as many things as they were selling. So they'd build up inventory. So now you're booming.
So that's not what we're talking about now.
No, we're not talking about that. And it's interesting. I know a guy in the steel business, and they can't find they have short supply of scrap steel that they make steel out of. So that's in short supply. That probably has to do with logistics,
right,
how it's collected and how it's delivered. Everybody you talk to can tell you about some snafu that exists in their supply chain or in their labor market or both. And so all of these things are contributing to reduced output. Reduced output is one of the measures of recession, right? So here we have a recession. It's not caused by reduced demand so much as it is by inability to meet demand and to have the price bid up because of shortage so that you end up with substantial rate of inflation.
Can you ever remember a time that all of those different dynamics collectively?
No.
And that's what the fear is.
I don't think economists can. And like I said, I think there will be doctorate theses written about this over the next 5 or 6 years. People trying to figure out what has happened, particularly to the labor market, and why is it that workers are in short supply everywhere? You know, if someone quits a job here, they're available to take a job there, right? So you figure it's a flux, people moving from this industry to that industry. Well, that's definitely going on, but it doesn't quite explain the situation.
So how does that bode for a future of business creators? I mean, they may have not thought about that as they, you know, launched their new business endeavor, but now they've got to take all that stuff into consideration.
Well, I think business creation ends up finding its workers. I don't know whether it's business creation that's going to be harmed, but I just worry that it's going to be hard to get out of this recession, that the government will not be able to get us out of the recession. It's going to have to be a self-curing recession in which all these parts and this system, this watch that we have with all these complicated gears, is going to have to get rebuilt.
But Sandy...
And we broke it. You know, we broke it in... The COVID broke it, the tariff... I predicted at the time that I thought the tariffs were going to break the supply chain.
Yeah, you did.
It was a very fragile chain that would be hard to fix. And it showed some weakness in that supply chain, and then COVID found the rest of them, and it's going to be very hard to fix.
And see, with that, meaning that there's no control over when it gets fixed or how it gets fixed.
Right.
That's the fear.
Yeah, I mean, the fear is, the 2007 recession was fixed with the money flowing from the government to feed money back into an economy in which we were in a situation in which we had no inflation, and the economy needed money. The well needed to be primed, but priming the pump isn't going to help in a recession that's marked by inflation and shortage.
So when do you think, Sandy, that we'll be in a full-fledged recession by the fall? I mean, or by the winter months. I mean, It's coming. There's no question it's coming.
Well, I think it is. And I think we're at the brink of it now. I mean, I think we're at the leading edge, and we're beginning to see signs of it. And various financial markets are acting like they're predicting it. So, you know, nobody can predict these things accurately. If they could, they'd be very, very wealthy.
Well, you know, you look at the Dow, it's at 30,000. At the height, what was it, 37,000, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
And they're in panic that it's dropped 7,000 points. And I'm like, hey, people remember how far it came up.
Yeah.
I mean, to be in full panic about, well, the Dow's down, it's still at 30,000.
Depends on what price you bought at.
Oh, yeah.
If you bought at 50, right, you're happy. If you bought at 32,000, you're not.
Right,
so,
right.
So, but I mean, that's the stock market, like I've always said, is not a very good thermometer with respect to how the actual economy is doing. And frequently, the stock market is off step. In a recession, the stock market can do well for a while, or it can do very badly at the beginning of a recession, and then it can start doing well before you get out of the recession. So it doesn't operate in direct lockstep with the rest of the economy.
So do we come out of recession before the nation, the world does, or it doesn't work like that?
Well, we probably have more capacity to do that because we still are a more self-contained economy, even with our huge deficit to China. Although I did see an interesting time-lapse analysis from 1970 to the present of the size of the exports of various countries. And the United States was the leading exporter for all these years until 2005. And all of a sudden, China appears at the bottom of the schedule and moves its way up the schedule in the space of about 3 years to the point where China is now the biggest exporter in the world and the United States is second, Germany's third. But it happened overnight. And so economic things can happen much more quickly than we understand or predict. And our capacity to get out of a recession, in some respects, is much more tied into the world now than it was before.
Yeah, and the fear, as you just stated about waking up and seeing China the number one exporter, we can handle that in two ways. We can vilify them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, which is unfortunate and not going to change anything. Or we can, like you said, just get our piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, get ourselves right.
Right.
I sat next to a fellow on a plane flying back from Newark when I was coming back from Israel. Nice fellow. But we started talking about China, and he began to vilify China, and I began to ask him just exactly for some detail about it. And ultimately what he said was, you know, I don't think you're going to like it very much when China's the biggest economy in the world. And I said, well, why? You know, and what should we do about that? Is that something we should take military action? Because we were talking about military action
right.
versus China. And the next breath of what he said was, well, I don't think you're going to like it when they're the biggest economy. It's like, oh, I see. So we should take military action against China so because they don't become the biggest economy in the world.
Right.
And I think that's America is very confused about all of that.
But they can't stop it.
No. And they can't stop it, and they should certainly not think they could stop it militarily. That would be the worst kind of international crime. So, you know, I think that America's got a solid future, particularly economically, but we got to start thinking right. And we should stop thinking about domination, and we should start thinking about success.
You know, Sandy, you start
success,
thinking.
Success and domination aren't the same thing.
Well, to me, we start thinking about right when we start having discussions like the ones you and I have. And it is why I always, man, treasure our conversations because of the subject matter. I'm a guy who listens to a lot of radio, and I don't hear the subject matter that you and I discuss. And to me, that's the telling part of all of it. We're not afraid to have the real discussions about things that may make some people angry because they think as Americans we're somehow bashing our nation. We're not.
Yeah. Well, Friday we can do this again, maybe.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
Yeah.
Thank you as always. Been a blast. 72 degrees. I love it for a change. Gotta go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.